This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And a good afternoon to you, Mike.
It is a good afternoon. I wish it was a little cooler and wetter and rainier, but other than that, it's okay.
Tomorrow, they tell us. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tomorrow. Mañana. Mañana is good enough for me, you know.
Might be a wet weekend.
I hope so. I hope it pours for 4 days straight and the streets are flooded.
That's depressing.
No, it isn't. It's refreshing.
If you say so.
Well, just think of all the lawns and the trees and the shrubs. It's just soaking it up and thinking, whoo, that rain saved our lives.
And it smells so good at the beginning.
Yeah. Hey, well, this is a strange radio show, I know. just hold in there.
We're a little strange anyway.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll just cut you off if you don't like it. But anyway, if you have questions about your lawn, your garden, your landscape problems, anything like that, you can call here 673-4464 and ask your question, and I will give you an answer, and it'll probably be only 99% correct, but, you know, what the heck.
That's good enough.
Give me 1%, will you? But any problems, you know.
Oh, you're in the 1% of the tax bracket?
That's it. That's where I am. You pay me well here.
You're right.
But anyway, thank you for listening, and I want to be helpful to anyone out there that might have a situation that they can't figure out. So at any rate, we are in the fall pattern, I guess. It's what? Is it still August? Yeah, it's still August.
Yep.
How many days till we get to September?
A week or so, maybe.
Another week?
Oh, I believe. Oh, man. I believe.
It's got to rain. But fall gardening and landscaping can be done in Oregon, California, and Washington with great results this time of year. You can even plant vegetables and have a crop of tomatoes or peppers or, you know, some of those fast-growing vegetables, you know, before it gets cold. So if you haven't planted a garden, give it a shot. See what you can do, and then call me back in 2 months and tell me about all the things you ate and grew in your garden. But, you know, and perennials, those are the flowers that bloom. They basically go all year round, and they're very beautiful, and they come back. They might die down in the winter, but they come back the next year almost twice the size as they were the previous year.
So they don't completely go away.
No, they're not like annuals. Annuals usually, as soon as the cold weather, like petunias, the cold weather hits them, they're toast.
They're gone.
Yeah, unless they're in the house. Then they still might be toast, I'm not sure. But, you know, any late season vegetables and perennials, you can have success with them this time of year. We still got some good. You know, it doesn't get really cold until mid-October, you know. You know, then we might have a dip down into the 30s, but usually September is fairly decent and warm. There's not, hopefully, any 90-degree days in September, but, you know, it gets up into the 70s and maybe low 80s a day or two.
So that's just about perfect.
That is. For working in the garden and letting those things grow, they don't get under the hammer there with the bad weather or anything like that.
So yeah.
We have a call?
We do. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello.
Good afternoon. And Mike, it's so good to have you back.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
I thank you. I have a question. The north side of my house, right by the living room window, I've got a small planter bed. I had three hydrangeas in there. They did pretty well, but the deer just destroyed them, so I took them out. Now, I was wondering what you might recommend. All winter long, that area is saturated. And
it's not a year, excuse me, it's not a raised planter then? It's in the ground?
Yes, it's in the ground, and the surface water just seems to not drain well. There's a lot of rock and stuff underneath there, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way you can raise the grade, like maybe put a small retaining wall with some decorative block or rock in there and then build it up for about 6 inches with good soil?
I guess that's probably what I should do instead of trying to put something into that soil the way it is now.
Yeah, because that way you'd have more positive drainage, and then make sure that whenever you plant anything in there, that if you're digging down and you hit the bad stuff, go ahead and make sure you dig all the bad stuff out and toss it somewhere, and then fill it with a good potting soil or something so it drains better too.
Okay. What kind of a plant or a shrub should I put in? It gets late afternoon sun only.
But for how long is the late afternoon sun?
Well, it's just coming around there right now. So
a couple hours?
Yes.
Okay. Well, just about anything will probably do well in there. You could put, there's azaleas that'll do well in there. There's rhododendrons that would do well if you have the room. There's any number of plants that, you know, in 2 hours of sun or maybe 3 hours of sun is not going to kill 99% of the plant materials that are out there and that are available. You could put some perennials in there and get something really tough that can withstand any heat, that kind of thing.
Like rhodies, huh?
Yeah, you could get dwarf rhodies. They'll get maybe 2.5-3 feet tall at maturity, and they have a small leaf. They have beautiful flowers, and they do require, like I say, good drainage. Anything you're going to plant in there requires good drainage, and so if you got rocky clay soil or anything like that, you got to dig that out and fill the holes with a good potting mix and mound them up a little bit above grade. And even if you got some colorful bricks and just laid them side by side, that'd raise it a couple of inches right there. And if that wasn't enough, you could put two or maybe three layers of decorative brick in there, surrounding the outside perimeter, and give you more drainage and a better place for the root system to expand.
Yeah. Okay, it sounds good, Mike. I sure appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate that, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
All righty. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have another call. How about that?
All right. This is good.
Hey there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I've got a question about my neighbor's tree.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, I don't know exactly which one. It's a huge evergreen, and it's dropping pine needles over my lawn so much that my kids can't even play around back here. They're about 2-inch long red pine needles.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if, and I think I've seen them around town like that also. So I don't know if this is just a shedding season or year.
Well,
what?
Yeah.
So is there anything I can do for the tree and my lawn?
So it's not totally defoliating the tree. It's just shedding some brown needles. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a natural thing. It happens every year about this time, and it'll go on for maybe another few weeks until all the older needles fall off. But you just kind of have to either can you mow it? Is it mowable?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've mowed it, and it doesn't seem to suck up all the needles. I was wondering if I should get a thatcher, the blade that has the two springs on it. I wondered if that would help a little bit.
No, that wouldn't help at all. It might help a little bit, but it would be a waste of your money and time to try to correct that problem. But is your mower a power mower?
Yes.
Okay, so it can suck up the grass and do all that.
Yeah.
And it might just take several mowings over the same spot to get the larger percentage of them. And then you take a fan rake and rake the rest of them off. Now, how old is this tree, do you think?
It's got to be 50 feet tall. So
so it's old.
It's an old guy. Yeah.
So did you plant it?
No, it's in my neighbor's.
Oh, it's in your neighbor's. I'm sorry.
Yard behind me.
Well, sneak over there about midnight and saw that puppy down and thought, don't do that. I'm just kidding. But have you talked to your neighbor about it? Does he have a lawn on the other side there or what?
He does. I haven't looked at his lawn very carefully, though, to mm-hmm. see if I'm getting all the needles or...
Well, you're not getting all of them, no. I'm sure, but you're getting a lot. Yeah. Yeah. But that's about the only thing you can do unless you remove the tree, and then probably be ashamed to remove the tree.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
But a fan rake will, you know, you a little bit of labor there for, you know, half hour or...
Yeah.
You know, once a week, maybe for a couple of weeks, and then you'll have the problem whipped. But the same thing will happen next year, so be prepared.
Okay. 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 Sounds good.
All righty.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have
Thank you.
Yeah, that would be a pain in the rear, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, but evergreen trees do that.
Yep.
And the worst possibility would be like a ponderosa pine or, you know, something with real long needles.
Oh, yeah, and sharp.
You know, if it's a fir tree, the needles are inch and a half long maybe. But a ponderosa pine or, well, I'll choose ponderosa because their needles are probably... 5 to 6 inches long, and when they drop, you know, this is the time of the year they drop, and
yeah,
and your choices are just let them all drop, and when they're finally done dropping, go ahead and clean up the stuff and put them in your yard to decompose and turn into mulch. And just have a pile of them, and if you have a garden, you know, the following year you can till them into your garden and they'll be broken up and they add, because they're chock full of nutrition, actually.
Oh, are they? So you can actually get some use out of them?
Yes, you can get good use out of them.
Nice.
Anything like that. It's just a byproduct of the tree. That's how it is.
And circle keeps going, recycling.
Oh, yeah, totally recycling. So, you know, don't hesitate to start your garden if you have some pine needles or fir needles falling into your yard or even old leaves. And I've said this 100 times on the air for the last, I don't know how many years I've been on here now, 21.
It seems like it's only been a week.
Yeah, a week and a half. But, you know, if you got a maple tree or, a leaf type of tree and it drops all the leaves and you want to have a good vegetable garden or maybe not very big, but you want some compost. Well, you put these leaves in a pile and a year goes by and they're ready to go. They're ready to be incorporated into your garden area or your planting bags. If you got, you know, around the house, you've got planting bags where you're planting rhodies, azaleas, camellias, hydrangeas, whatever. And, and all that stuff adds to the soil. All that debris, or you can throw it away, but it's a waste of material if you can use it in your yard for long-term landscapes or mm-hmm. long-term nutrition for the plant materials that you have. Even if you spread it around the surface of some of your more mature plants, whatever they might be, just spread it around the base of the plant. In a year, they've already decomposed and the nutrition that was in them goes down into the soil and enhances the root system of that particular plant.
And it's done its job.
Yeah, it's done its job.
Well, I suppose we should take a break.
Okay, we'll be back.
And our phone number?
673-4464. Please call.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, we're back. And Mike, you want to hammer out that number again?
Yeah, if you have a question about your garden or your plants or your ground or your trees or whatever, 673-4464 will get you right in here. You can ask your question and I'll give you an answer.
And good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, I have... turn my radio off.
Thank you.
We have a problem with morning glories overrunning the yard. What can we do?
Well, pretend they're ground covers and didn't have to buy them. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Morning glories, I know. They're They're really a pain. And when you say all
yes,
over the
they are.
when you say all over the
yeah.
yard, do you mean in the bark mulch or in the lawn or
they are they're in our bark mulch, they're coming up in the yard. We've got little shoots all over the yard now. Uh-huh. We've been battling them for years.
So how have you been battling? What have you done in the past?
Well, somebody says don't let them bloom, so we try to keep the blossoms off of them.
Uh-huh.
We basically just been pulling them up.
Okay. Now, is it in the lawn as well?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in the lawn there are products that you can like a weed and feed type of material that will take care of the broadleaf weeds, which is considered a broadleaf. It's not a very big leaf, but it's still a broadleaf. And what you do first is you make sure you water the lawn so there's moisture on it, and then treat it with whatever lawn weed killer is available at the co-op. And there's usually three or four different types. And it's an ongoing process until you get rid of them all. And then in the bark mulch areas, you just spray them with Roundup once or twice a year and keep them to a real minimum. But for forever purpose, they are like one of the main plants of Douglas County. I mean, you're not alone in your challenge there. they're all over.
So what about around a flower bed?
Well, as long as you don't get it on the root system of the flowers or on the flowers at all, you just have to be very careful and conscientious when you start to spread this, or if you use a spray, just be very conscientious, or if you use a granular type weed thing, you just don't want to get it up near the stem of the flower or on the leaves of the flower or shrubs.
Okay. We will give that a try, and hopefully it works.
Well, you know.
My husband will be delighted to get rid of them.
But just be cautious and don't try to do it on all of it in one fell swoop, because then you'd be putting too much of that material, the poison material, into the flower bed, and that might have a detrimental effect. So a little bit at a time, and it's an ongoing process.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the call.
We will definitely give it a try.
Good. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Morning glories. Yeah, I do know what they are.
What a pain they are.
Oh man. They're pretty, but they're not.
Yeah, for a week when they're blooming.
Yeah. They come in different colors, don't they? Just purple or whatever it is.
It's kind of bluish purple.
Bluish.
Yeah. Right. There might be some strange ones I don't know about, but that's the ones I know about.
Hybrids.
Yeah, hybrids and stuff.
Number.
What?
Phone number.
Oh, I'm sorry. 673-4464. I didn't know what you're talking about now.
Well, I should have been more specific.
Yeah. So if you have a question and you're listening and you have a problem with your landscape or any kind of question, just give us a call. 673-4464.
And good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Boy, that was quick.
We like it.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Hello.
My morning glories have pink blossoms.
Yeah. They have different types, and I've seen them with white blossoms too. So you know.
Yeah, they like to come up right in the middle of your flowers and everything.
Yeah.
So, but that wasn't my thing for the day. Mine is I have these rhodies. They're pretty big, and they're many years old, and they're very leggy. And I'd like to know the best time maybe to prune them back, and how far back I can prune them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, rhodies are not some, you know, pathetic little weak plant. They're very, very tough, and you can prune them back heavily, but how tall are they, for instance?
Oh, the ones I want to prune back are probably like 5 to 8 feet, different ones, different sizes.
Well, you could, if you have an 8-footer, you could prune it back to 4 feet if you wanted. And on a rhododendron, when you look at the stem carefully, you'll see little bumps on the stem. What those are latent leaves. In other words, if the plant were to break, a branch from a tree falls down and knocks the top out of a rhodie, well, those little buds turn into leaves. So when you're pruning, prune right, if you see one of those buds on the stem, just prune right above that bud, because that will be next spring's leaf. And if you only, how many rhodies do you have?
Let's see, one, two, three that I want to prune. I have two giant ones that are like, you know.
Okay, well, yeah, like, and the giant ones, prune them in. Well, prune them into a tree. Take some of the lower branches off and let the top go. I've done that.
Yeah, that's what I've done to the two huge ones, but then the smaller ones, I haven't done anything, and I don't want them to get huge like my other two that I want that way.
Yeah.
And well, so.
Well, if you got a 4 foot or 5 foot and you want it down to 3 foot, go ahead and prune it. You're not going to hurt it.
Okay. Like I say, these are probably from 5 to 7 or 8 feet
well,
high.
Pick
so
out.
I can prune those down to like 4 feet.
And oh, yeah.
Then
easily.
Those leggy limbs.
Easily.
The leggy limbs, then I need to prune back to where I see it.
Yeah, and there's little limbs in the interior of the plant. You know, the little skinny ones that are just kind of anemic looking?
Yeah.
Go ahead and take them off. Take them off. Prune them out.
Okay. Yeah, I do that with my big ones. I just clean them off because I keep it all bare, and it's big, like a big shade tree. <They all.
laughs> You're not going to hurt it. Trust me. I've 1 year I did a landscape cleanup for a lady out in Garden Valley. She had these very tall rhododendrons, and she says, I can't stand them. There's no leaves on them except at the very top, and she had these big picture windows, and they were ugly. And she says, I want them out, and I think I hit 9 of them. And they were like 8 feet tall. And
wow.
They were, and the only leaves were at the very top. So we went in there. I couldn't see destroying them. I thought, I'm going to try an experiment. So me and a crew dug them up and had great big root balls. I mean, huge. And took them back to the nursery. And then I cut them down in these, like these 7 and 8 footers. I cut them down to 3 feet. Mm-hmm. I just whacked them at 3 feet and put them in a huge pot. And I put them out in the back in my field in the growing area. And the next spring, you'll see, we did that in about June or July. And the next spring, there was full of brand new leaves. They were beautiful, and they had flowers. And I brought them up to the front of the nursery and put a real fancy high price on them. And I sold every one of the of those in about 6 months. They were that beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, my big ones, I want them that way, and they're probably 9 feet or so high.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I've kept them pruned up. So they're real clear, and I can sit under them and all. So those are my shade ones that I use. But they have probably like 2 feet thick of leaves at the top.
Yeah.
And they are just covered. You can't hardly see a leaf in the spring when they're in bloom. The whole top is solid blossom, so they're real pretty.
Yes.
So those I'm just leaving like that, and I just break off those little new starts, like you say there.
And if you're kind of queasy about pruning any of the big ones down to, you know, 3 or 4 feet, just, I don't know how many you have, but just do a couple and see what they turn out to be, and that will give you your signal that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Well, they're real, like I say, they're just real leggy and just have leaves out kind of on the ends.
I know.
So that's why I want to prune. And those are my small ones that's like 4 or 5 feet high as all.
Well, you can prune them down to 3 feet, 2.5 feet, whatever you like.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Have a good afternoon.
Oh, it's great. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And the phone number once again.
673-4464. When I give the phone number, they call, though.
Oh, see how that works?
Oh, man. But any questions, fair game. And if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know. That's it. Or I'll make something up, whatever you prefer.
Click.
Didn't like that answer, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Lordy.
But I was starting talking about it since it's fall, and it's still warm, and you know I don't think we'll have any frost for at least maybe in the end of October, first part of November.
Halloween,
yeah. You could actually start a fall vegetable garden if you wanted some fall vegetables, and with the sun that we have and the warmth that we have, they'll produce quickly, and if you, especially tomatoes, the stinking tomatoes. I eat tomatoes every night, fresh out of the garden. And I said, we got any more? And my wife says, oh, we got tons of them up there.
They haven't even put a dent in them.
No, I eat so many tomatoes, I feel like I'm turning into a tomato. But they're good. They're delicious. And, beans and peas and there's so many little vegetables that you can put in and still reap a crop between now and maybe the end of October because it doesn't really get cold. You know, sometimes we get a cold day in October towards the end, but, in the last 25 years, I haven't seen much of that, you know.
So. Yeah, we have a pretty mild climate, so to speak.
We do. It's amazing how mild it is here in comparison to the other side of the mountain, Bend, and that kind of country. They might have snow, you know, next month for crying out
loud. Yeah, the sun could be out, and 5 minutes later, you got frost all over the place.
Yeah, I know. So please don't hesitate to call, and we'll get you right on the air, and you can ask your question, and I'll give you an answer.
And on that note, it's break time.
Okay, we'll be back.
All right, News Radio 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, it is 437, and how can they get a hold of us, Mike?
673-4464 if you want to give us a call. And so
you want to repeat that? I had your mic turned off.
Why did you tell me? Okay. Well, the maestro here who's running the board turned me off. So
sorry.
And the number is 673-4464 with any of your landscape questions or plant questions or anything like that. So it's been great. I love all these calls. I really do. It's good to do that. It really makes this show worthwhile. And in my opening gamut here that I didn't really get done, I was talking about fall gardening being done in Oregon and California, Washington with, good results because we have such, great weather in this coastal plain that we live in. And you can plant till what? We got another call?
We do have another
Woo-hoo!
Call. Hey there, you're on the air with Mike.
Hi, Mike. We're glad to have you back, and I'm glad to hear this phone ringing.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you for calling.
I have a question. My husband built some raised beds for me, and we planted them this year. And we're on a north slope. We're getting as much sun. I've got them in a place where we can get as much sun, and they're fenced from the deer. we started with some kind of mixture. I don't even know where it came from, the co-op or one of the places that's good for raised beds. But I've discovered it needs more than that. And I just heard you say plant more beans for fall, and I'm thinking my beans are finally coming, but they've done poorly. My question is, what can I do to improve this soil? Should I put some manure in there? I mean, seasoned manure, outdoor planting mix. What do you suggest? It just wasn't doing much for these plants.
Okay, is there any topsoil in there at all?
I'm going to put some in there.
Okay, so
I don't think there was much.
Okay, so you're just saying you've had that potting mix kind of deal in there, and that's what they're growing in?
Yeah, it's stuff they said. Well, this is good for raised beds. It's a mix of all sorts of things, and I guess I thought, well, that'll do the trick, and it needs more.
Well, it's good. It's good to a certain extent, but you can't do it 100% on vegetables and things.
Exactly.
Like that.
That's what I found out.
Yeah, you can mix some topsoil in there, mix some sand in there, and the season you could try a little portion of your garden, do a half of it, or I don't know how big it is, just to test it out and plant some things in there and see how they do. Because I think what's happening is you're watering, but the drainage is so good that the water goes down and, the roots can't keep up with it or something. But it needs a little bit more body. And when I say body, I mean real dirt, real soil.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking. And sometimes I don't even, it seems so dry and I'm literally drowning the stuff, but the material on top is just almost crusty, weird.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to try and plant some things now, beans maybe. Okay. What about onions?
Oh yeah, onions will do it. We got a couple months yet. So, but put some good soil in there. At least 50% of it should be good soil, topsoil or anything
50%.
Like that. Yeah, because that'll do, it'll slow the drainage down and keep the roots damp and it'll be a better mix.
And when it comes to sand, how much would you say? And do I just go to the store and buy sand?
Well, you could have it delivered to your house. Depends on how big your garden is.
I don't need that much.
Okay. You have a pick.
Well, if I was doing the whole garden, I would need a whole truckload.
Do you have
the raised bed.
Do you have a pickup truck? Or a neighbor?
Well, yeah, we could do it with a pickup. Sure.
Yeah. Get a go out to Uncle Sand and Gravel and tell him you want a yard and a half of good topsoil, and then just dump it right in your truck. You take it home and mix it in your garden.
Will that have the sand in it?
Oh yeah, it's a sandy loam, and you work it in about 3-4 inches into your current soil type right now, and you'll see an improvement.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I thought if I called quickly, I'd be able to get some information, and then I'll get going on planting it. So, okay. Thank you so much.
Well, call back when you get good results and let me know.
Okay. Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Right. All righty. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
All righty. There we are.
Yeah. Nobody on the line? Gosh, it's only five calls in a row. What's going on?
Bang out that number again.
Oh, man. 673-4464 if you want to. Want to ask me a question on your garden, your trees, your landscapes, your pruning, your lawn, whatever it is. I've only had about 40 years of experience in all that stuff, so I barely know what I'm saying. So. But
now you sound like a politician.
Yeah, right.
We got another call on that note.
There you go. See, it's just how you deliver, man.
There you go. You're on the air with Mike.
Hey, Mike, it's Dan.
Hi.
I have it's either a palm tree or a yucca kind of a looking plant. It's got long spindly kind of a blade that goes upwards.
Uh-huh.
And I want to replant it. I need to move it.
Yeah.
I just want to know if when's a good time to move it.
Well, when it cools off, maybe in another month, and we've had a little bit of rain when it's kind of damp and you don't want to go out in the yard, that's the time to move it.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Does it kind of go dormant at that point then?
Yeah. Well, it's going to start, when it starts getting cooler and the daylight hours are becoming less each day, the dormancy process begins in all those plants. And after about a month, they're almost totally dormant. And if it gets a little cooler, like into the low 40s or high 30 degrees at night, then it really shuts down and sits there till next spring. So when that happens, or we get some significant rain and it's cool, it'd be a great time to transplant.
All right, I appreciate that. Now, do you suggest I put any, fertilizer with it? Or,
no fertilizer. No fertilizer. Just transplant the plant and make sure you've got good soil you're transplanting to. And then maybe like March or April, very lightly fertilize.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call. 673-4464 if you got a question.
There you go.
Do I have to say that again? You were messing with the buttons.
No, it went over.
Okay, good. Over on out. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
So we're talking about fall gardening and transplanting and all those kinds of things and getting rid of weeds. And so any questions, fair game. Just, September and October are coming along, and it's going to still be a little warm and sunny, so there's little danger of frost in our region until, I think, maybe November, if then. I've seen some pretty mild Novembers in the 100 years I've lived here.
And then the opposite, too. I mean, it's just weird.
I know. But
that's a term a Republican Party wouldn't What? Like weird.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I meant to say political party, but I didn't. Never mind.
Uh-huh. See, he's talking politics on a garden show.
I'm digging deep.
And, yeah, he's going to dig himself deep. I'm going to bury him right after the show is over. But, you know, let's say you want to do a landscaping job, but you just haven't gotten around to it. But maybe you got some ideas and you're saying, well, gee whiz, when can I do this? Well, fall is a great time for doing it. Doing that landscaping job you've been putting off because it was too hot, too dry, too whatever. But you can do it yourself and start small and build on that, or hire a professional to come in and design it and give you a consultation on it and let them do it. You know, this is from now till, gosh, till it gets way too wet or way too cold, which who knows when that might be this year. It might be mid-November. I've seen Thanksgiving days where it was sunny and halfway warm, for crying out loud. But it doesn't happen that way each year, so you got to play that weather thing by you know, eyeballing and saying, well, let's see, there's some clouds, and there's some sun.
And when in doubt, consult the old Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah, the Farmer's Almanac is so accurate in their predictions and stuff like that. But even if only you measure out say you want to landscape your backyard or a small portion of your backyard, get out there and measure it out and contemplate on what you would like to plant there. And measure it out and see how many square feet it is, and you know, maybe start looking around at some nurseries and see what kind of plants you might want to put in there. One thing you don't want to do if you're doing it yourself: don't overplant. Don't put too many in any one spot. Just let's say you got a place that's maybe it's 20 by 20, 400 square feet, and it's in one of your corners of your yard. Well, you think, well, that's a pretty good size area. Well, it is, but you wouldn't want to put 10 rhododendrons in there, because in 3 or 4 or 5 years, it would look like a jungle, and they would be competing with one another, and they wouldn't have enough soil to really grow and look good. But if you were to, say, get 3 nice rhododendrons and space them out about 8 feet apart or 10 feet apart in a triangular pattern or something like that, or whatever your imagination comes up with, you sit there and look at them for a year and see, you know, how they're doing, how they're growing. And then the next year you can add a few other items and smaller items, because the rhodies get fairly large in time. So you want to go maybe with some ground covers, or maybe some azaleas. A lot of azaleas only get about 2 feet, maybe 3 feet max, and they add to the color scheme of what you got going. And don't crowd them out. I mean, just keep a lot of space between things, because you can always add more plants later if you're not quite satisfied with the look you've created. But if you put a whole truckload of them in a very small spot, they look good, you know, the first year, maybe the second year, but by the third year you're going, gee whiz, they're sure crowded in there. And by the fourth year it's a real mess. So you have to envision your landscape. You have to be able to picture, you know, what's that going to look like. And if you got a larger yard, you know, the same principle holds, but be cautious and be frugal on your plant purchases in that respect. So,
we got a break.
A break? I thought we had another call, for crying out loud.
Maybe.
Come on, call.
Bang out the number again.
673-4464.
We ought to have a jingle just for that.
Yeah, we ought to. Why don't you sing it?
No, please. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, it is 4:52, top of the hour. We'll be having the afternoon report. And the phone number right now, Mike, is
673-4464. Easy number to remember.
Yeah, so plenty of time yet.
Yeah, and I really appreciate all the people that called and asked their questions, and I hope I help them and they can get on with their projects. So at any rate, I was trying to talk about September and October as far as being still a good planting time. Yeah. And like I say, there's little danger of frost in our region until maybe November. And I've seen some Novembers that have been, you know, fairly nice too. But also, it's just a great time for doing that landscape job that you've been putting off because it's been too hot and too dry. It's too hot and too dry is harder to do than when it's wet and cool.
That's a bad combination.
I know. When it's wet and cool, I mean, you can always go in and get warm, but the plants don't go through any shock, yeah. And you can get them in the ground. The ground is workable. But when it's too hot and too dry, if you got an old yard like I had in Roseburg at one time, you know, the ground was like concrete, for crying out loud. You had to get a pick and a shovel and do all that kind of stuff and try to break it up. It was a tough thing. But it paid off though. Oh yeah, it paid off. It was good. It only took 3 years to get the yard landscape, but that's
well,
okay.
It's a good 3 years.
Yeah, it was quick. But if you notice, the fall colors are really, really starting to show up well. The maple trees, you can see the reds and oranges of different maple trees. You can see what color your Japanese maples are going to be for the next several weeks until the leaves fall off. And as a bonus, shrubs that flower are pushing new blooms for, another 2 months anyway. The perennials are. And another bonus are the ornamental grasses, like pampas grass, which can keep their large blooms into the winter. Or you can cut them off and use them as living room decorations or fly swatters or something.
Interesting. You know? Okay.
But my point being, that spring and summer are not the only times for blooms and color or actually doing the work in your yard. Usually the worst time is to try to accomplish anything is in a regular year would be about from mid-November to about, mid-February. Mm. It is cold, it is wet, and it's a whole lot harder to dig in the muck and try to break it up into soil than it is, you know, the rest of the year. So you want to, you know, that gives you a good time for planning,
right.
You know, and trying to visualize, yeah, this is what I want to do with my yard. And it's a great time to prune anything that's, you know, way overgrown, whether you've got fruit trees or shrubs or anything like that.
Probably find some good sales, too.
Yes. And the prices seem to go down a bit in the wintertime when there's not much activity happening, so... get out there and enjoy the fall colors. We got another call?
We got another call.
We're going for a record here.
Yeah,
hello.
You're on the air with Mike.
Yeah, it's Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I talked to you from before.
I hope.
trying to germinate vine maple seeds.
How do you germinate vine maple seeds?
Yeah, I can't get them to germinate.
Well, what have you been doing? How have you been trying to do it?
Well, just pick them off the tree and put them in a pot with some soil.
Well, that's one thing, one way of doing it. But another way of doing it is get the seeds when they're mature, which some of them are probably getting mature enough to be able to pick and do something. But get a towel or a rag of some sort. And wet the rag down and lay the seeds on the rag and then fold the rag over and keep it damp for a few days. And what happens is the seeds begin to swell, within a week, say. And then, you know, keep it damp, not soaking wet, but damp. And lift the top cloth up in about a week or two and see if the seed is swelling and if there's a little bud, a little leaf coming out from the seed. I mean, that's one way of doing it. And then you could plant, if it is happening, you could go ahead and plant those in like little pots and in some good soil and see how they do through the winter.
So how deep did you plant them?
Oh, gosh, an inch or two, that's all. Probably 2 inches at most. But if it has a little leaf that you want to keep the leaf at the surface, you want to just put the root where the seed is. And don't take the seed apart or anything like that. Put the whole thing into the soil and make sure it's nice and loose. You just have loose soil, just poke your finger in and stick it in and then cover it up and pat it down a little bit and keep it damp.
Okay. Doesn't matter whether it's up which way it's oriented, huh?
Excuse me?
Doesn't matter which way it's oriented when you put it in the ground?
Well, no, the leaves will grow straight up. I mean, they'll just put the seed down first, and then if there's, like I say, a little leaf that's the primary leaf that comes out, that should be up. That should be pointing up.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
And be gentle because
they... I didn't look at all trying to germinate them.
Yeah, well, you know...
The same way with big leaf maple?
Oh, yeah, then you can hardly keep them... you can hardly keep them tame, for crying out loud. But you can do the same. You don't... And in fact, you can just all... If you got big leaf maple seed, just have a bunch of pots or a trough or something and put your good soil in and do a line and put the big leaf maple in the line and then cover them up with about another inch of good soil and
you don't have to soak them, keep them wet?
Yeah, keep them wet. Not flooded, but wet, damp.
In the soil, you don't have to put them on a towel or anything.
Yeah, you want to put them outside in the sun, too.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All righty. Yeah, I got a maple I planted out here about 3 years ago. Man, that thing looks beautiful.
Well, good. You're on your way, buddy.
Easy. And I don't have good soil. I got that darn clay.
Oh, I know. Most of Douglas County is that way.
But you're talking about in Roseburg. My God, you got that what they call black mud.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that stuff is so...
I know. I had a yard. I had a yard full of it 30 years ago.
Hey, Bill, we got to run. We're out of time already.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling, Bill.
Thank you.
Are we done already?
We are done.
Well, that's a record. Was that 7 calls?
Oh, at least more than that, I think.
It was either 7 or 8. I lost track after 5.
I didn't even think to count.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. I enjoyed it.
All right. We'll catch you next week.